Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday. As the GOAT, Michael Jordan, once said, I'm back. Well, we're back, technically. Anyways, welcome back to a new edition of D3+. I'm excited to be back in the studio, and Tyler's with me here today. Super Bowl Sunday is right around the corner. We have the latest in D3 news and more. Well, what do you say? Let's get this thing rolling. Well, everyone, the big game is this weekend. Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 55, Buccaneers, Chiefs. Chiefs looking to go back-to-back. Who are you taking and why? Well, I'm taking the Chiefs. I think it's a no-brainer that the Chiefs are going to win. Other people say, well, you're looking at Tom Brady, arguably the GOAT, the greatest of all time, the best football player to ever put on a helmet and shoulder pads. The man already has 6 rings. This is going to be his 10th Super Bowl appearance. He has every record there possibly is, playoff, regular season, quarterback records. He's got the most rings ever. And really, I think you've proved all the doubters wrong. He always got so much criticism for being the system guy. Oh, Bill Belichick made him who he is. Well, guess what? He moved to a new team, has a brand new head coach, brand new teammates, first year of the team, and look where he got them, in the Super Bowl. And the Buccaneers are going to be the first team ever to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. I mean, it's a great situation for the Buccaneers, but I just think the Chiefs are too much to handle. These teams faced off not too long ago, though. They faced off back in November. The Chiefs won 27-24 in Raymond James Stadium. So the Bucks were home at that point, and the Chiefs got the best of them. That's the game where Tyreek Hill put up video game-like numbers. He had over 200 yards receiving, double-digit catches, a touchdown. I mean, that man set a record for most receiving yards in the first half of an NFL game. I mean, this is going to be a great matchup, but I got the Chiefs. I just think they're too much to handle. I think the Chiefs' defense is better than the Packers. Like, the Buccaneers barely escaped the Packers 2 weeks ago at Lambeau. Patrick Mahomes, I think he goes back-to-back. Does he get MVP? Maybe. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I mean, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, I mean, those are the guys on the receiving end of almost every pass of his. So, and then I'm looking for the Chiefs' defense to ball out kind of like they did last year. They handled the 49ers, let the offense do its thing, and the Chiefs are Super Bowl champs. But crazy thing I saw this week, a business owner wagered $3.46 million on the Buccaneers to cover the spread. $3.46 million, almost $3.5 million. Wow, that's just completely absurd to me. So, I mean, since we're on the topic of betting, here are the lines. The Chiefs are favored by 3 points. The Buccaneers, +3, +105. Their money line, the Chiefs, -171, and the Bucks, +145. So we're talking this man can get a huge payout. He wagered 3.46. He could probably win if the Buccaneers cover the spread. He could probably take home close to $8 million. So he'd get back his $3.5 million plus another $8. That would be insane. That would be something to look out for. But again, like, Chiefs are favored. They expect to be a close game because back in November, again, the Chiefs only won by 3 points. So the spread is just three and a half. But I'm taking the Chiefs all day. So kind of looking back at these playoffs, at this NFL season, I mean, it is just fantastic that they were able to get the entire thing in with, yes, there's COVID scares here and there, and it only affected a few teams. But, I mean, some teams went through the entire year without one COVID headline, without one COVID outbreak. And kudos to the NFL for handling it the way they did. They played a full 16-game schedule. They didn't have to get an extra week. The playoffs have gone smoothly. And now we're at the big dance. Big dance is this Sunday. But as you all know, if you are a faithful listener, we are big Bears and Packers fans. So let's take a look at the Bears season. I just have one word to describe it. Disappointing. The Bears started the season 5-1. They finished 8-8. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, ups and downs here and there, lack of effort at times, lack of production, mostly throughout the entire season. Something that struck me all season is, like, through the first 6 games when the Bears were 5-1, Eddie Jackson, there's a string of games where he didn't even allow a pass his way. He was just that locked down in coverage. He had a few like pick sixes taken away from him for like roughing the passer, pass interferences. Like he would have had 3 touchdowns this year if it weren't for penalties. But then I don't know if frustration set in. I don't know if he was playing injured, but Eddie Jackson just wasn't Eddie Jackson. We had Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller. Tashaun Gibson had a fantastic year filling in for Amos and HaHa Clinton-Dix, as Eddie Jackson now has a third different playing mate back in the secondary. Jalen Johnson, standout corner, he was hurt at the end of the season. I mean, the Bears have the pieces on defense. It's just they lacked production. They didn't force turnovers. They got to the quarterback, but they weren't producing sacks. I mean, it was just tough. And, I mean, still a top-ranked defense, top 10 in numerous categories. And then looking at the offensive side, we have Allen Robinson. Another 100-plus receiving season, over 1,100 yards, 8 or 9 touchdowns. Montgomery really came on at the end of the year. In the last 5 weeks, he had 600 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns. He eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in his young career. I mean, Darnell Mooney, another underrated wide receiver. It was his rookie year. He was putting up some numbers. He had a game of 11 catches. So, yeah. And then Trubisky, of course. I mean, yeah, he gets all his hate, but once he came back with vengeance. That man threw for 12 touchdowns compared to 5 interceptions. He was putting up numbers. He led some wins. Like, he got the Bears into a playoff spot, and thankfully, the football gods got the Bears in the playoffs. Now, looking to the playoffs, they squared off with Drew Brees and the Saints in the wild card weekend. And, man, it's the same old song and dance. Disappointing. Terrible effort across the board. The Saints didn't do anything to really beat the Bears. The Bears just beat themselves. I don't know if you guys recall, the Bears ran that trick play. Thank God, that was one of the best plays I saw the Bears run all season. Went right through the arms of Javon Wims. The Bears would have had the lead going into halftime. It would have been like 10-6 or 10-9. But he just dropped that wide open pass. Like, that was probably Trubisky's best pass of the entire season. Right through his arms. And, I don't know, that's just so deflating. Because you run a big play, you execute it to perfection, you would have had the lead on the number one or the number two NFC team right through your arms. Just so deflating. And then, I don't know, we kind of struggle with it here at our school playing football, where the defense has to pick up the slack. Well, defenses get frustrated at the opposite side of the ball. The defense just can't be on the field the entire time and expect to bail out the offense every time. But the Bears defense was keeping him in the game repeatedly, over and over. Michael Thomas didn't do anything. Alvin Kamara, really not a factor. Drew Brees was barely throwing the ball. Like the Bears defense was doing its job. But again, lack of turnovers. Special teams play kind of lacked as well. I mean, yeah, that was just a typical Bears game of the season. It was slow, lackluster, and at the end of the day, they lost a very winnable game. Now looking into the offseason, I don't know, unless you live under a rock, you've probably heard about the Deshaun Watson noise. There are so many teams that are looking for him, but you got to make a trade. He's not a free agent. He signed a huge contract extension, I think, at the beginning of this year. So, I mean, he's locked in. It was a pretty huge contract. Can the Bears get Deshaun Watson? Maybe. I see, for the Texans to give up Deshaun Watson, their franchise quarterback, the leading passer of the 2020 season, the Bears would have to give up so much. And we've already given up for so much for Khalil Mack that we are just now getting back our first round picks that we owed the Raiders for getting Khalil Mack. So the Bears throw in 2 first rounders, throw in a second rounder and give him one of our stars, like Roquan Smith? Do we give him Akeem Hicks? Do we give him Allen Robinson? I mean, if we give him Allen Robinson, who's Deshaun going to throw the ball to? Not that that's really a question. We do have good young receivers, but, I mean, you can't lose a player that's had 3 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons while you bring in what's supposed to be franchise QB. Would I love the Bears to get Deshaun Watson? Yes. The football gods are literally letting the Bears redeem themselves. I don't know how many comparisons they have to make between Trubisky, Mahomes, and Watson, how Trubisky went before Watson and Mahomes that year in the draft. But, I mean, the football gods are literally giving the Bears a second chance, and I would love to see Deshaun Watson in blue and orange. But do I think it's possible? It is, but at what price? And I feel like that's the thing for every team, to be honest. But the Jets were the second to worst team in the league this year. Everyone thinks Deshaun Watson and the Jets. What do the Jets have to offer besides picks? They got no players wise. Frank Gore. I mean, I love Frank Gore, but he's 35-year-old running back. Cool. I mean, I doubt the Texans want that. I don't know. Like a lot of teams would have to give up a lot of picks or somehow find value within their own rosters and make a trade. Well, that's my voice on the Bears. Here's a recap at the Packers. I mean, unlike the Bears, who had a very disappointing season, the Packers have a lot to be thankful for. Aaron Rodgers, he is 36, 37, maybe even 38 years old, MVP. That man had 48 touchdowns compared to 3 interceptions. And it's routine at this point. Like, even last year when the Packers were 13-3, Aaron Rodgers had a quiet year. He still ended the year with 40-plus touchdowns. I mean, this man is unstoppable. Do we see him playing to Brady's age? I mean, maybe. I mean, barring any significant injuries, knock on wood. But, I mean, as long as you have Aaron Rodgers at the helm, the Packers are going to be a threat. Davante Adams, arguably the number one wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, and then you have a stacked running game and a very much improved defense. I mean, the Packers have so much limelight, so much potential, and yet they continue missing the big game. They lost to the Buccaneers 2 weeks ago, and Brady threw 3 interceptions. They threw 3 interceptions, and then the Bucs defense did their job and got 3 and outs on the Packers. So, I mean, I think the Packers just played lackluster 2 weekends ago and lost to the Buccaneers. But, the Packers are still a team to be reckoned with. They're the number one team in the NFC. They got that first round bye in this expanded playoff field. And then, like Deshaun Watson, there's more big quarterback news. Will Aaron Rodgers leave? Heck no. No, this is just like saying Giannis was going to leave Milwaukee before he signs a 4-year max extension. He is not leaving Green Bay. Yes, I know. Everyone wants to see Aaron Rodgers go back to the Super Bowl, as he's only been there one time, and he won it back in 2010, 2011. But is he going to leave Green Bay? No. No, stop that talk. One key piece that the Packers will be getting back is they just let their defensive coordinator go, Mike Pettine. So, new defensive coordinator. They have one of the best secondaries. Kevin King, Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos. I mean, Jair Alexander, that man is unstoppable. He's getting up to Jalen Ramsey ranks, like top 3 cornerback in the league, nonetheless. So, solid secondary. I mean, you got the Smith bros, put that in quotes, up front, along with Rashawn Gary. They got a solid linebacker in Christian Kirksey and a rookie out of this draft. His name escapes me, but I mean, all the defensive pieces are there. They have Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, one of the best O-lines in the league. They have a strong run game now with a 3-headed dragon at running back with Dylan, Jones, and Williams. I mean, the Packers got everything you want in a team. They just can't get back to the big game. And I know a lot of Green Bay fans are frustrated at that, but I mean, it's the Packers. They're going to be successful. They're going to win a crap ton of games next year again, and hopefully get back to the Super Bowl. A lot of people are saying this was Rodgers' last chance at the Super Bowl. I say no. I mean, he's old, but like the Packers are young. They probably get to the Super Bowl next year, or maybe the year after that, and then Rodgers' time kind of runs out. Well, I'm going to take a short intermission, and we'll be right back with the NBA, college basketball, and some Division III news. Thanks for tuning in to D3+. Thanks for staying tuned. I'm so excited to be bringing you another edition of D3+. Well, we've talked football, recapped a few seasons. Now it's time to talk about some basketball. The NBA is back, and the NBA is doing a fantastic job of handling COVID, letting the season run out, and stuff like that. Well, a huge question in the NBA right now is, should there be an All-Star game? I mean, Yes, duh. COVID happened right around the All-Star break last year, or just after the All-Star break. So yes, they got an All-Star game in, but now a lot of players, I shouldn't say a lot of players, but players like LeBron and a few others are saying that the All-Star game is, I quote, a slap in the face to players. See, I don't think so. I think that the NBA needs the All-Star game. I would think viewership is down. No fans are attending games. I enjoy watching the NBA. I know there's tons of fans out there, but the All-Star game would mean so much, not only to the players to celebrate a tremendous job of playing through COVID, going through the bubble last year, stuff like that. I think the All-Star game is meaningful. And it is part of a typical season. I want everything to be as normal as possible. And so I think the All-Star game is essential for this season. However, a lot of players are saying, heck no, they don't think it's a good idea, but I do. Also, I think that it wouldn't be All-Star Weekend without a three-point contest and a skills competition. Yes, they are working on that. They might as well do, they've been talking plans about doing it in the same day, so like a skills comp in the morning or early afternoon and then a game at night, unlike the traditional dunk contest Friday, skills comp and rising star Saturday, and an All-Star game on Sunday. They wouldn't do like a whole All-Star Weekend, but I still think like the All-Star Weekend wouldn't be the same without these competitions. Like, people live for the dunk contest. It's so exciting. Get to see some real good talent, some real creative dunks and all that. Three-point contest, of course, and the skills comp. See who's really the most athletic, who's the best passer, faster, stuff like that. I think it wouldn't be All-Star Weekend without these competitions. Where are they planning on doing this All-Star game? Well, ATL, baby, Atlanta. Atlanta seems to be the front runner for the All-Star Weekend. I think it's a great spot. I don't know about COVID rates and all that. I don't even know if there's going to be fans at this All-Star game. But, I mean, yet again, this All-Star game, it would be a much-needed break for the season. It's a celebration for all the players for playing during such unprecedented times. I think the All-Star game is needed, and it will be exciting. It's good for the league, etc. I mean, I just think it's a good thing. But, I mean, a few players in the last couple of days have come out and said, no, they don't want it, and the league is still meeting about it. I don't think the All-Star game would be until March at this point, so a month from now. But I don't know. We'll see how things play out. For the NBA, tonight's action features the Bulls Magic, Raptors Nets, Timberwolves Thunder, Pelicans Pacers, Bucks take on the Cavs, and a huge game tonight, 9 o'clock Central Time, Celtics Clippers. What a matchup. I mean, talk about the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, all this young talent for the Celtics. Man, they are a good team to watch. However, they are only at 11-9. I mean, they're above 500, but two games above 500 with such star power, such shooting. The Clippers on a huge win streak. You know, Kawhi, Paul George, they've been balling out. They've been playing well as a team. They're up to 17-6 on the year. Look for them to continue rolling as their favorite in tonight's game. Another matchup to watch tonight, Raptors-Nets. The Raptors haven't been the typical Raptors. They're 9-12 right now, but I still think they're a very solid team. Fred VanVleet, just this week, put up 54 a couple nights ago. I mean, man, talk about his growth since his rookie year till now. I mean, Kyle Lowry. I mean, the Raptors are still a solid team. Don't sleep on them. And then the Nets, you're talking about one of the biggest three we have probably seen in the NBA, besides LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, Clay, Curry, and KD. Well, KD is a part of this one, as is KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. They are 14-9. I mean, they can shoot the lights out. Their offensive efficiency since acquiring Harden is first in league. However, as you know, James Harden gets criticized for not playing defense. Their defensive efficiency has fallen to last in the league. So they might as well score 150 points tonight and hope that they don't give up 150 points tonight. But, I mean, exciting to watch. The Nets are a good team. I mean, they're NBA final front runners. They're one of the top teams in the East, of course. I mean, how could you not be with Kyrie, KD, and Harden? I mean, good game to watch tonight. And that one's on ESPN. Now, looking into some Division III news. I don't know if you've seen it, but the Senior Bowl happened last weekend, and a guy from Whitewater balled out. I mean, this man was elite. You guys should definitely go check out the highlights. They call him the D3 Beast on Bleacher Report and BR Gridiron. I mean, this man from Whitewater, of course, D3 football did not happen this year, and he still got invited to the Senior Bowl. This man was going against top prospects from D1 schools, and he was pancaking them one-on-ones. He didn't even let a guy get by him. He was phenomenal. These reps are elite. So shout out to him. Shout out to Whitewater football. I mean, good for him to show out at the Senior Bowl. I mean, is he a top draft pick? As there's a lineman last year drafted in the third round out of a D3 school. That's the highest a D3 player has ever been drafted. Does he go in the third round? Maybe the second? I mean, taking a look at that tape, I bet scouts are drooling over him now. He's got D1 size. I mean, he was manhandling these D1 players up front. He's an interior lineman, guard, center. I mean, why, like, seriously, go check out these reps. They were phenomenal. In other news, NCAA Division III has made it official that winter championships are canceled. So no NCAA tournament for basketball, women's basketball, wrestling, etc. No indoor track and field national championships. Yes, teams are still going to play for their conference championships, but that conference tournament that happens at the end of the year is going to be the last competition for winter sports. Is it sad? Yes, because right here at Concordia, our men's team won conference last year and then played in the first round of the Division III tournament. They took a tough loss at Platteville, but right after that game, that's when COVID struck. So they got one round into the playoffs, and then, boom, it got cut short. So is it sad that teams who routinely go to the playoffs, teams that probably would have won the championship last year, don't get a chance to redeem themselves? Yes, but with COVID still being unprecedented, with COVID rates at record numbers in some points in the country and other situations all over the other country, I mean, traveling right now isn't a great idea. I mean, yes, the teams get tested a lot. You could even ask guys to wear masks, maybe no fans, but yeah, I don't know. It's a tough situation, of course, and as it sucks to say, but COVID is still impacting our daily lives now that we're even a year into battling this pandemic. So, I don't know. The way spring sports are looking for Division III and Division I, it's kind of rocky at the start right now, but I think it's going to be good. We've started up lacrosse here. I mean, Wisconsin has a foot of snow on the ground. It's tough to get outside and practice. Sometimes we're inside in the gym. I mean, yesterday we just had practice canceled, and now we're going to face a winter storm where it's going to be negative 15 on Sunday and negatives again on Monday and Tuesday. So, I mean, when's the next time we practice? We don't know. But that's typical early season stuff. I mean, come around March, April, when seasons really get going, I mean, smooth sailing. Hope to God. I'm praying for it. In Division III, I guess all the fall sports are going to be starting. So not only will it be lacrosse and women's lacrosse out on the field, it's going to be men's and women's soccer. Football is playing in the spring with a shortened, condensed schedule, different tournament-type style. But yes, football is going to have a season in the spring. So weird to say, but it's going to happen. I mean, this spring is going to be exciting. It's going to be filled with sports. I'm excited for it. Hopefully everything plays out, goes smoothly, and we get to the end of the semester successfully. Well, everyone, my time in the studio has come to a close. Thanks again for joining us for a brand new episode of D3 Plus. We covered the Super Bowl, we covered football, breaking news in Division III athletics, and a little bit more. So thanks again for tuning in. This is D3 Plus, signing off.